Welcome to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I'm excited about being on the air today to be able to talk to you about the things of the Lord, things to encourage you, to inspire you. Everything that we've done is to be able to communicate the love of God, the hope of God, the hope of God eternal in Jesus Christ. Joining me today on VFN Radio is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Also joining us is the co-host who is holding the torch.
Hello, hello.
John Ramos. Today we're going to be talking about so much, and the biggest thing, just going to get off my heart. I've been really thinking about you. I've been preparing to be able to communicate, hopefully, the love of God and a hopeful word for where we're going. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There is hope in Jesus Christ. So many things have been going on. So many good things have been going on. But I'm going to shout out this morning to Tony and Sophia in New Jersey there. Also to Crystal in the Bronx. To all the crew in Houston. We'll give a big shout out to all you guys out there. My heart goes out to you. Listen, good things are in store. Give a shout out also to James and Kichara and Mitch and Gina. Juan, Ayana, James, Pops, and Sarah, and all the children there. Hey, we are pumped. God is doing things. We're getting closer together, believe it or not, for the destiny and what God's about to do. Also, we'll give a shout-out down to South Florida to Brianna and Cindy and Kevin and all the crew down in South Florida. Big shout-out to Mile High Stadium out in Denver. To Sharon and Brett this morning, and to all those on the Emerald Coast in the VFN Dream Center. We'll give a big shout out as we prepare for the harvest of what's about to come in these days. Yeah, you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Well, here we are. So many things are going on. So many things are going on, and it's exciting to be back in the saddle and being able to share some of the things that God has just been revealing.
Yeah.
Some awesome things.
It's awesome having you back.
Yeah, it's great having you back.
I enjoyed the laughter, all the wonderful things. I can't believe your dog was that scared of Samuel. Was it Sandra? Francis?
Francis.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Petrified.
I mean, to be 3 ounces, you couldn't think it had that much fear at all.
Right? I know it.
And the poodle thing. I mean, what happened? You know, I just spent a little time with the Lord to come back, and everybody's got little miniature things, you know?
Right.
What happened to the big Dobermans?
Well, you know.
You still have.
He wasn't used to being chased, because Holly would run from him. So it was just a total.
Oh.
He was not used to that at all. I just threw him off.
It's amazing how those excuses just, I mean.
You know, well, I got to help the boy out. He needs all the help he can get.
It's a boy?
last I checked.
Dogs give you ample opportunity to know, don't they?
Like, oh, yeah.
Can we get stopped? Go outside. Oh, my goodness.
Please.
What are you doing?
Please.
Well, you know, Max, my little poodle, yeah, he 90-pound poodle. He's a German Shepherd. He used to be an inside dog. And being 100 pounds, you know, it's something that happens. It's different than poodles and your little chihuahua. That there was a moment, the revelation that came to us, you know, I probably just had him laying in my lap, or at least his head in my lap. one paw.
That's all that would fit.
In one paw. And I'm, you know, probably just, what do you call that when you're like, picking at their hair and cleaning them up, and grooming him, and he's just looking back, having a dream and stuff, just, you know, kicking back like this. And this is, you know, at this point I didn't have the revelation, but then we woke up the next morning.
Oh gosh, together.
And
hey Max, how you doing?
We're close, but not that close. And anyway, that opened a lot of humor there. You got to be careful nowadays because all kinds of crazy things are going on.
I know it. Please.
Yeah. Anyway, so he was fed, and it was, we didn't realize this was our fault. We gave him some pork chop bones or something that was a little bit older than they should be. I think they were a year old. And anyway, he got sick and he threw up, threw down, threw out. And,
in the house.
Throughout the entire. And so, yeah, luckily, you know.
And then when he got banished?
Well, we just realized at that point, at that point, you know, we got a word from the Lord. You're an outside dog.
You're an outside dog.
You're an outside dog, and this shall never happen again. And the interesting thing, we understand now why, you know, the dog licks his feet, is because he likes to be outside. He likes to, I mean, that's what they like to do, like digging in dirt. They like playing, and you know, it's just amazing what they do outside. And now we try to bring him inside sometimes because we forgot the moment that he looks at us and like, I can't handle this long. I need to go back out again. And he's a shepherd. So as soon as you go outside, he will go out and patrol the environment. He will take the whole perimeter down. He'll check it out. Sort of like a little kid that's riding their bike for the first time. They'll look back over their shoulder and see if you're watching them. Every single time, he'll go out and he'll check everything out, make sure everything's okay, and then come back. And it's just really cool. You see why they call him a shepherd.
Oh, yeah.
And if your shepherd doesn't look your way, watch a German shepherd for a while, and you're like, oh, that's what's supposed to be happening. But yeah, you know, I was very surprised to find that out. But, you know, we shall overcome the pugisms.
Oh, please.
It's a pug, right?
Yes, he is.
It's a pug. It's a pug.
It definitely is.
It's a pug. And it's a cute little dog. It really is.
Did you say cute and pug together?
Its left eye is cute. If you kind of close down and narrow down.
The one that actually looks at you?
Yeah.
He's got that Leah thing going on, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing how he's able to focus with that one eye. Kind of makes you feel compassionate for him and everything. Well, I tell you what an awesome weekend, huh?
Yes, no doubt.
God just doing powerful things. It's the presence of the Lord and encouraging word from God. And let me tell you what, God is in control. And I'll be speaking today, hopefully, on the radio about waiting, how important waiting is, and how waiting reveals things. It reveals ourselves to us. But also reveals others to us, don't it? And it's like, and just waiting on the Lord, you know. And the biggest thing it reveals is our motives and helps us get things, you know, in tune with God. And hopefully get a chance to be able to talk about that. Also, the power of praise that, you know, we're promised things about. I mean, think about it. You know, we're going to be talking about how, you know, praise and gratitude and having a joyful heart releases the blessings of God and the provision. It releases a harvest. And now imagine not only not having praise, but refusing to acknowledge God. Mm. Not only you're not appraising Him,
right?
But you're not even acknowledging Him in your life. And how it's like, well, why don't I have a harvest? And what's, you know, and we're going to talk about that, you know, how important, you know, praise and gratitude and having a joyful heart, understanding that the Lord is with us. Also, we're going to be talking about a wisdom moment. You know, we had a chance to share wisdom moments in a while. And those are so important because they're foundations for your life. Knowledge is one thing, but wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Mm. And there's nothing more weird than to watch this really intellectual dude do some really stupid stuff. And you think, oh, knowledge. Puffs up. But no wisdom reveals, right? It's like, oh my goodness, are you serious? Do you really think it works that way? And that's how you can have some farmer, you know, shout out to our farmers today, but a farmer sitting here in a pair of overalls that maybe graduated, made it to the eighth grade or something like that, you know, that worked real hard and watched the soil and watched, you know, animals and those type of things grow up. And though they might not be as articulate or be able to discuss the DNA strand of some foreign goat, they can actually tell you so much,
man,
if you listen carefully, between the very long, long pauses, right?
Yeah.
So, it's like, oh, goodness. And you find out, it's like, my goodness, that's powerful. Also, get a chance, hopefully, to discuss, maybe in the second hour, if not the first, faith. You know, we've been really soaking on faith, and, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We want to be like the centurion. Remember, the centurion was the one who had the greatest amount of the substance, which pleased God the most. He He said, I haven't seen anybody in all of Israel that had such a great faith. Mm-hmm. And this is what Jesus said. He says, will the Son of Man even find it when he returns? And I was looking for it last week. I was trying to find it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking, like, I see what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, so and when you know that faith's not present, when fear's there, mm-hmm. anxiety, fear, doubt, unbelief, mm-hmm. and just, you know, and faith works either way. But if you're expecting something bad to happen, faith works.
Yes, that's
right.
And believe me, you can find somebody who'll be in agreement with that bad thing happening in your life. Yeah,
all
I always thought, yeah, your aunt so-and-so, you know, she had the very same thing. Dang. Let's just tie our faith together that you will get it and you will die within 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. They said, what, the ultimate healing?
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Well, that's something else. I really appreciate that. And it's so about, let's talk about, we're talking about the incubation period and really focusing in on your faith and how to make it practical, the revelation practical in your life. Mm. It is so cool how, and I know you've been talking about this, and at the same time, you know, God, his ways are beyond our ways. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking at all the things that are happening, crazy things, but really the fulfillment of prophecies taking place rapidly.
Oh, yeah.
And then you see some really bad decisions being made by the courts and bad decisions being made by leaders and all this. And you think, oh my goodness. But at the same time, you know, and I know that we've been praying and I'm just thankful for those that pray within the vine and they've been faithful to pray for years now. I know it's been like praying against a brass heaven. It just seems like, you know, you're praying mm-hmm. is our prayers being heard. God, are you tired of this prayer? I think I'm tired of this prayer. And you just pray. But I know that you know, one of the prayers, of course, was what Lou Engle birthed at the call in D.C., Lord, end abortion, send revival, when the young guys were there and with tape over their mouth because, mm-hmm. you know.
Said life.
Said life. And they were speaking for the ones that couldn't speak. And then, of course, with Mike Bickle and Lou coming together, that merged into IHOP. And then IHOP began to carry that mm-hmm. prayer. And then, you know, we benefited off of growing in wisdom from Mike Bickle's prayers. And the House of Prayers, we birthed VFN Prayer and Fasting Community. And we got the prayer part. We're working on the fasting part. We're trying to get to where John is in fasting.
Oh, yeah.
He's fading away.
That's right.
See, that's faith. That's faith. Speaking those things.
There you go.
Speaking things that are not as they are.
Right. Sounds good to me.
No, Pat is. You know, Pat is.
Jeez.
He's beating it off, though. He don't think he's fasting. Hand me that weight. What are you lifting now? Like 7,000 pounds? Anyway. And so, where was I?
Life.
Oh, and so Lou Engle, and so with International House of Prayer Kansas City, you know, sometimes you just need to see what God has in your heart and what we're able to watch and experience. Because I remember asking, I think the most difficult thing you can do is to get Christians to pray. Mm. You know, longer than give me my car, give me my house, nice. Give me his job.
Right.
Things,
yeah, right.
You know, non-selfish prayers. And protect me from myself. but praying for 6 hours, I believe their shifts were in the House of Prayer, and they did it with music, and it really helps. But by seeing that and sowing into that, you know, God was able to begin to birth it in us. And I don't know how many years now, but quite a few years now.
We've yeah, probably 4 or 5 now.
Somebody says, you know, do you want to take on more days? Like, we're still trying to master one day. But we're believing it's going to be 7 days a week, but it's been on Mondays. But one of the prayers has been, you know, dear God, end abortion, send revival. And I like that clarity, that just boom, that's it. Mm-hmm. And as we studied in Josiah, and if you haven't yet watched Josiah or listened to Josiah, I believe you have to listen to Josiah and VFN TV on our app. Mm-hmm. You know, you can find it in your app store, VFN TV. Mm-hmm. Or go to VFNTV.com and download it, or you can go to VFNTV.com and watch it, is, you know, Josiah, you know, we are Josiah in America. We are the ones who issue the edicts. It's different than many other countries because, you know, other countries have a king or some sort of patriarch or somebody that's kind of running it and they're kind of running the show. Oh, well, maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, we're venturing in that area, I think. Mm-hmm. But in America, it's a government by the people and for the people. And some people say, well, you know, I don't pay attention to that. Well, realize this, that God does. And it's sort of like, you know, a king that doesn't know they're king doesn't mean they're not king. It just means they're ignorant.
That's right.
I really believe, I think it was when the great American Revolution, when King George was struggling with what he was going to do, his mother said something to him such as, you know, go be king. Because he was struggling with the whole issue, I believe. And she just said, go be king.
Wow.
You know, and it's time for America, especially Christian America, to be Josiah. And what Josiah did, Josiah was a young man that took over leadership at a young age. And that's what the Word of God says. It says that a rebellious people have young people and women rule over it, mm-hmm. what it says. And not that women can't rule or anything like that, but young people don't have the experience of going on. And so he's king. He's King Josiah. He's in the lineage of God's choice to be leader of Israel. And when he sends some people down to the building, mm-hmm. to the temple, you know, to clean it out, he just checked, you know. And so the people who normally run the money in the ministry, mm-hmm. he said, you know, I'll just give the guys I'm going to send up there, let's just step out of norm for a little bit. Let's give the money, all the money and all the decisions to these people who are going to restore the temple,
mm-hmm.
you know. And of course they go and they begin to, of course he's king.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he says it, they're going to have to do it.
Right.
And by the way, it's the same way in America. The people rise up and begin to say what's right. You know, Washington will reflect what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And they went there. And they're digging around. And, of course, I'm sure the high priest, they start sweating, going, they're going to find the instruction manual. You know, the whole time they're thinking, I mean, you know what they're thinking. You know, the same way that somebody is hiding a kilo of cocaine that has the police searching them, they're getting closer. Mm. They're gonna find it. They're gonna find it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they had to be thinking that they're gonna get closer and closer to the Word of God, the Bible, the Word that said exactly how priests are supposed to operate, how mm-hmm. things are supposed to handle, what the temple is supposed to be look like, and all that junk going on in there shouldn't be going on in there. And so while these guys are like, I'm just going there in my own imagination, you know, sweeping out the temple and getting out some Ajax and some Clorox and
Mr. Clean
and getting the graffiti, the, you know, Jezebelic graffiti off the side, mm-hmm. and washing mm-hmm. down the murals and busting up the little Asherah statues and, you know, cleaning stuff up, whatever it is. And running the prostitution out of it, that all of a sudden these guys run back and some mysteriously they find the Word of God.
Yeah,
and they go, oh well, looky what that. We found.
Oh my
goodness!
Can you believe that?
Yeah, and I wonder what would have happened if they wouldn't have done that.
Mm.
I wonder what would have happened if they actually would have done that. Not done that, but anyway, they did do it, and of course. They're probably thinking, well, they're going to have us read it, so we'll skip over a few mm-hmm. chapters and verses on marriage. You know, we want to leave that out. You know, right. We're going to bring over things on ministry and accountability. Wow, we'll go over that. But all of a sudden, you know, King Josiah has his secretary read it. How could the secretary be reading this? Yeah, but they're not priests. They're not ordained. Listen, we already took all the money from you. We're working on the temple. We'll just let my secretary read this thing.
Mm.
And they begin to read, and they find out Josiah is shocked. He's just shocked that this is how things ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And some serious stuff happened at that moment. And when I get back from this break, we're going to talk about what did Josiah do and that we are Josiah.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What religious rights do employees have in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
that work for a soft drink company, and they started doing sales meetings on Wednesday night, and that's my Bible study. They basically asked me, you know, well, you have to decide which one is more important, your job or the church.
Well, in those kind of situations, they're supposed to make a reasonable accommodation of your sincerely held religious beliefs. So a mandatory participation in an activity that you disagree with, that they cannot do. With regard to the meetings, they would have to show that it was difficult or impossible. That would create what's called an undue burden for them to have the meeting on another night so that it interferes with your worship service. Now, maybe they have to exempt you out of the meeting. But in situations like this, what we have to do is look at all the facts and circumstances, gather up all that information, and then make an individual determination as to what you can and cannot expect from your employer in a situation like this. So what I'm going to do is get you in touch with our legal staff here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help.
Find out more at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, what's so amazing about abiding is not that you're just able to hear the voice of the Lord for yourself, but that you're also able to help others hear God's voice. You know, Jesus said that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And it just reminds me of, you know, Maria. Oh my goodness. Hears from God. You know, she learns to abide, and she hears his voice. And guess what? She follows what God says. And it's so amazing to see that not just for yourself, that how you can hear God's voice, but how you can begin to teach others to hear the voice of the Lord, and how they can spend time with God, and how they can abide, and how they can journal down exactly what God is saying to them, about them, and for them.
And she's so beautiful. You know, you can just see her transformation prior to hearing God's voice, you know, years ago. And as she began to hear the Lord's voice, and that's openly today.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Patterson in New Jersey is being blessed. The Bronx, you know, in New York is being blessed. And so many people are being blessed because she hears God's voice.
That's right. Let me tell you, if you're looking for a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's free. Just go to iabide.org. Request your simple plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about Josiah. We are Josiah. I know, John, when you're talking to me during the break, you're hearing things such as, you know, be George Washington. And, you know, George Washington's a pretty cool dude, and obviously called to be the first president and to lead this nation to where it's at. But for us to keep what God gave through George Washington, we're going to have to be Josiah. And pretty much at that time, the church was Josiah. They stood up for what's right. They understood that it's a government by the people and for the people. And we're talking about Israel here, and we're talking about a king named Josiah who was young. He sent somebody to the temple because it was a mess, and he wanted to have it cleaned up. He just had that little, you know, I want to do something good for the church. I mean, didn't know nothing, really. Believed all the stuff that people was preaching to him. And so he goes there, but God's actually leading him, obviously, to do this. When he gets there, he tells them to hand them all the money out of the normal way of doing things so that
the people he sent there can use the money to fix this place up. It was falling apart and all the stuff's going on. And mysteriously, the people who were supposed to be preaching and teaching the word found the word, and it was hidden prior to that. And he had a secretary begin to read it. And as soon as he heard what God said, wouldn't it be, this is what I believe is going to begin to happen. The church, people who profess to be believers, are going to hear the anointed teaching of the word, and they're going to respond like Josiah.
Right.
You know, what happened to the Josiah responses to the gospel? And they spoke the word, they read what was, and they realized we are so out of God's will here. This is so not what God would have for us. This is so, we're in rebellion against God.
Right.
And he first dealt with himself. He took his clothes and he ripped it, and he just realized, I've sinned. And he confessed his own sin. He asked God to forgive him. And he began to, you know, get in this word and operate in it. But then after he dealt with himself, then he went to the people, and that he was over, and he began to speak to them the truth and the word and had them taught the very same things. And then he said, and all these things that are around here that are not of God are going to come down. And he was king. He was able to do that because he was king. And then all of a sudden God goes, man, listen. There has never been a king greater that has ever existed than you. And he even says, even afterwards.
Right.
This is how God sees repentance. He was a mess. I mean, he didn't even know. I mean, you imagine driving around without a map. I mean, he was walking as leader of God's people without a map, without the word of God, with people hiding and lying to him, obviously.
Right.
You know, living in a whole other country, going like, you're king of this country, but he wasn't even in the mindset of where he was. And God goes, whoa, you know, this is great, you know, and because all the kings before him were just, you know, all of them, but there was a procession of a lot of kings who did evil in the eyes of the Lord that provoked the Lord. And God just slammed on brakes because God was fixing to bring judgment down on his people, God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, by the way, and his repentance, a leader's repentance, Josiah's repentance, somebody who has the authority to issue an edict, a repentance and choice to exercise that, stopped the plans of God that was going to happen to Israel, the apple of God's eyes. But this is what he said. This is what he told Josiah. He said, listen, it's not going to happen in your lifetime. It's just not going to happen. But because of all this innocent bloodshed that's been spilled all over Israel, it's going to happen, but it'll come happen after you. And you think about it. In all the wars there ever were in the world that from the time existed, there never was more than 1 million people killed in a battle until World War I, who just happened recently. And then you had 55 million that were killed in like 20 years later or whatever in World War II. And we have 55 million babies bloodshed in our country alone through abortion that we know of. Approximately 55 since 1973.
Wow.
When an edict was issued saying that you can kill your baby in the womb. They call it abortion. And this bloodshed, and that's what really concerns me. That's my concern is, you know, here you have this awesome king who did what was right when he found out what was right. When you know better, you do better. And God rewards that. But God says, I'm not going to forgive the innocent. I'm not going to forgive the bloodshed, the innocent bloodshed. So there was a season, a Josiah season, that allowed, and for us, what we would say, it would allow a season for us to win more people to God, to live in hopes that God would even delay it more and more. Maybe he'll delay it till the last trumpet sounds. You know, you don't know. But he is one who looks for ways to exercise mercy. And so here we are now in America with a situation. Somebody said everybody's blaming everything on Washington. And it's like, they're not the king. They are representation of the people who are, if you would, the kings of America, because it's a government by the people, by the Josiahs, and for the Josiahs. And they just represent you in your school boards, your governors, your Senate, your Congress.
you know, your judiciary branches, your presidents, all these guys, they just represent us. But you know what? It's 82% of regular church attenders, according to George Bonner, are just like these priests who don't even read the Word of God. They don't read, and they just listen like Josiah was prior to that, mm-hmm. to whatever people tell them. But when he actually went in the Word and began to read the Word, or had the Word read by a secretary, he found out, my goodness, we are so off. You know, we deserve to be smacked mm-hmm. and dealt with. And it's like, listen, God was holding every king accountable for his decision to or not to do what's right. And when Josiah, despite all the evil kings prior to him, did what was right, God responded to that.
Right.
And if we in America are Josiahs, at least for a while now, you know, if we are for a while now until we just, God just takes it away from us because we wouldn't do what was right, then we can issue edicts. We can say, listen, you know, back off on taking God out of things. Don't touch the Ten Commandments. If you replace the Ten Commandments, we're going to replace you. Mm-hmm. You know, if you keep on escalating this thing, I don't care what you say about it. We're the kings.
Right.
We're the kings. You know, and this is, I'm talking about every person in America. It's a government by the people and for the people. And before God, we go, listen, and we begin to personally, we got to deal with ourselves first. And that's what Josiah did. He realized you got to get in the Word. You got to hear the truth, you know, spoken to you to where you go, get yourself right with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to begin to teach others his ways. Begin to teach others ways. And listen, in America, if enough people begin to do this, the whole nation just turns. And the disaster that was meant for Israel was delayed. It wasn't going to happen.
Right.
And it's like everybody seems so disempowered. But you know why? You know why? Well, obviously because of sin, but it's a pain being the king.
Hmm.
You know?
That's right.
I was thinking about, I mentioned it already, I don't know if it was on break, about, you know, King of Great Britain, when during the American Revolution.
King George.
King George. That his mother just told him to go, you know, go be king. Go be king, because he was struggling with a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, America, go be Josiah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is you first go, oh, I'm going to have to find out how this country runs. I mean, every king does.
Hello.
That's right.
You see, if it was a monarchy and we were ruled by one king, then you could say, yeah, I don't even know how the country runs.
Mm-hmm.
But since you are king, you are Josiah, you have to know how your country runs. You have to educate yourself. And you have this thing called the U.S. Constitution that you really need to read. And you need to read what God says about you as a Christian and what, how we're supposed to respond before God. But if we'll do that, we could say, wait a minute. I have First Amendment. I have a bill of civil rights. A bill of civil rights for me. The First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third Amendment. I have the Constitution that says we put these guys in office to be, we just allow a loan to them, a leadership position. It's like, oh, I need to start being like Josiah.
That's right.
And if you go to VFNTV.com or go to your the VFNTV app, you can actually see, it says, We Are Josiah is the title of this particular prophetic teaching, how American Christians can make a difference. But if we don't wake up like Josiah, because it was going to happen, God was going to come down. And understand, of all the things that we've done wrong, the biggest thing we've done wrong is begin to kill innocent people. The innocent bloodshed. And sometimes, because you can live in a generation that has killed so many people that you don't realize how that compares. But the Holocaust, they're under Hitler's rule. Over 6 million Jews were horrific. 6 million. It was horrific what happened. We killed 55 million.
Yeah, right.
55 million children who didn't even get a chance to live a life in a way to demonstrate how they were going to live their life out.
Mm.
And, you know, and listen, if that was you, and God can forgive you. But listen, we got to call it what it is right now, because we got so much blood in the dirt that's crying out like Abel's blood that I don't know how God, I just don't know. And when I see, what I see is happening in America is exciting. But you also wonder, are you Josiah's season or his son's season? You know?
Yeah, right.
And because we're beginning to see things in the atmosphere you thought would never happen, but obviously God is answering prayer. But we're seeing huge turns like in Texas, where they are saying after 20 weeks, don't kill a child. Don't kill the child in the womb. Don't abort it.
Right.
And if you are going to participate in this abortions, you have to be a related doctor to a hospital, mm-hmm. which means the hospital now has to put a billboard outside that says, we kill babies, which you're probably not going to have many of those things happen.
That's right.
And it won't be one for long. Mm. And then they're saying that that bill is a template for other states to be able to begin to look at. But you look at Governor Scott, the governor of Texas, Rick Perry, he pressed through and people tried to stop him.
That's right.
You have to understand, that's like that's a Josiah moment. Mm-hmm. That was a Josiah moment where he stood up and he could have just said, oh, you know, we tried to vote and stopped it and just let it go and not have that on his name. But he stood up and it was a Josiah moment. And all those men and women, those legislators, who were being bombarded by the four or five people who want to continue doing this. That were, some of them were even, as we heard on VFN radio, worshiping Satan out loud.
That's right. Yeah.
They were saying Hail Satan Hail and stuff Satan. On it. And which I think is good bringing clarity because that's actually what's going that's on.
Reality, yeah.
And for them. And that was a Josiah moment. But there's another Josiah moment in the state of Florida when Governor Rick Scott comes to Escambia County, around Pensacola area, in the northwest Florida area, to sign a bill called Born Alive that protects the life of the child that in a botched abortion, in other words, they're trying to kill the baby, but they can't kill the baby, and the baby's born alive, that they are obligated by law to be able to provide, like they would for any other citizen of America and any other patient, health protection. This is I really believe that was part of the key legislation that helped out Texas, because Texas is saying now the ones that are needing to be close enough to a hospital so you can get right. that child to it. So I believe, and I have that pen in my office, some of the pens, I have one of those pens, and a copy of the bill, because Pat and I was there when the governor signed it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And this is what one of the writers of the bill said, and senators and a senator and a congressman was there, and just governmental crew. They said that if this bill would have been on the desk of any other governor that we've ever had in America and in Florida,
wow,
that they would not have signed it, but this governor did.
Mm. Wow.
I remember the word was that was saying this: that this is going to be the states are going to have to contend with this law.
That's right.
And look at that. Bam. Wow. Texas comes over and, I don't know, Pennsylvania maybe?
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And this Ohio. Is huge, because if you get a majority, then all of a sudden
Arkansas
states become Josiah states. I mean, like Texas is a Josiah state, you know. And what's so exciting is to see Florida begin to be a Josiah state.
That's right.
And stand up for what's right. And we're going to begin to see this dominoes begin to fall. And if a majority of states stand up for what's right in this arena, and we continue to pray and understand this can't happen outside of God, that, and what's going to happen too with these new laws is it's helping people see abortion for the murder it is. If you don't call it murder, some people just won't see it as murder. But when you call it murder and you're serving a life sentence like Gosnell, you know, then people start real. And it's just amazing. And this is hopeful, because this means if we stop this, and this is what Josiah did, he began to tore down the altars to Moloch, you know, and Asherah, the sacrificing of babies in the altar of Moloch. He tore that down. This is what's happening. The altars for Moloch are beginning to come down.
That's right.
And it's real, you know, there's a lot of things going on. I said, you know, the mysteries of God, trying to figure out the heart of God. Only, you know, God knows what he's doing. But all I can say is that he is responding to prayer. You know, he's responding to us crying out to him and say, dear God, forgive us for abortion. End abortion, send revival. Listen, we are Josiah in America. We're the ones that issue the edicts. We can do exactly like King Josiah did, because this is a government by the people and for the people. The question is, what are you going to do with the authority that God entrusted to you? What did King George's mama say? Go be king.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, guys, right now, reporting from Charisma News, they're saying that Netanyahu... Goodness, get that word out. Netanyahu, Prime Minister.
Netanyahu.
Yahoo? Okay. Prime Minister of Israel, that he's preparing the public for possible war with Iran. And, you know, this has been coming for some time. I mean, he's been talking about for over a year now about drawing the red line. I'm amazed at the patience of Israel. Mm-hmm. I mean, the patience, they continue to dialogue, continue to be open to reasonable agreements. And now it's come to the point as they're preparing. This is what Charisma News is reporting, that over the past several weeks, the writer's saying, I've been hearing from the current and former senior Israeli officials and advisors at the highest possible levels that the showdown with Iran is entering the critical endgame phase. He says, I'm hearing from people who, with direct knowledge of the plans that war could come in 2013. They're saying that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is beginning to prepare the public for this military option, and that's why he was on Face the Nation on TV. Listen to this. He says, Netanyahu called the Iranian a messianic, apocalyptic regime bent on genocide, a reference to the Shia eschatology Khomeini holds, that Iran must annihilate Israel and the U.S. to usher in the region, the reign of the 12th Iman. Netanyahu also called the incoming president Rouhani, a wolf's sheep in clothing, who bragged in the past about negotiating with the West while secretly advancing nuclear enrichment. And so it's time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's time. They're preparing, they're communicating with their people, and we must be ready to continue to pray and be alert and to stand with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2013 is here.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, John Kerry,
Secretary of State,
has been over to Israel six times already.
He's not on his boat.
Well, no, not this time. Not this time. But he's made it six times to the region.
Did you see that picture of him on that canoe, kind of working his way to?
Oh my goodness!
While everything was falling apart.
Not a good moment to be in the boat or photographed going to the boat.
Yeah.
But you're looking at all this stuff happening, and not to mention that they're wanting them to have these negotiations with the Palestinian Authority to create, and Benjamin Netanyahu is quoted as saying, listen, we don't want to create another state on our borders that really wants to destroy us, but we're open to talks, we're open. Mm-hmm. But they're still suggesting, to go back to 1967 border lines. They're not even defensible. They're not defensible, putting Israel in complete jeopardy. Yet, once again, and you're seeing a whole region now that's completely in turmoil. You have Egypt that's had a major transition. Once again, less than a year of once Morsi was elected president, a year later, millions revolted and rebelled, and now they have a new president. Mm-hmm. You have Syria still going on. 90,000 plus people have been killed in this conflict. 90,000. You have Russia, who's supporting Iran. You have our government, who's supporting rebels, Al-Qaeda, in all of this, while Israel just waits, while Assad is saying that if we didn't have this conflict going on, and when this conflict is over, oh, we'd take Israel out. At the same time, his enemy, the rebels, are saying the same thing. And just to think that we would still be talking about 1967 border lines is something that's absolutely off the charts. It's ridiculous, and we must support policy and definitely prayer that says, listen, don't mess with the apple of God's eye.
Yeah, the whole thing is in the context of you can't think of things logically.
No.
You have to understand, and you know, we really haven't done it, and it's kind of really hard to do. If you look at crime that happens on a daily basis, you know, we presently live in a blessed land where we don't see it as much crime. You can see it on the news clips, mm-hmm. and all these different things. But, you know, coming from a law enforcement experience, that when you see this poor innocent clerk who's just doing her job at 10 o'clock at night that has a $20 bill in her cash register, with somebody coming in and literally beating her brains out just to take that money, mm-hmm. that $20 bill, mm-hmm. There's evil. But the thing is that we protect ourselves so often from this reality of evil that all of a sudden now we don't even believe it exists. Mm. I mean, you look at this man who had these young girls for, I don't know how many years, 10 years, I guess,
years.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
as her slave in his house and, you know, beat one of them till their baby was lost and raped them and all this kind of stuff. I mean, this is evil. Or you look at Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer, who mutilated these other people. And this is satanic. This is Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. When you're talking about, it makes no logical sense for anybody to mess with this little small country called Israel. And none at all, especially as peaceful as they're trying to, they're just, it's amazing.
Patient. Yeah. Let's talk some more yet again.
So when you support leaders who want to logically work things out, you're coming in and it's just, you're just going to be, if you believe in what the lie they're telling you today, you're going to be surprised by the lie they tell you tomorrow. And it's never going to work out that way. It's just, you got to stop looking at Israel and what's going on in a logical way. And realize this, when somebody wants to kill someone, that's satanic. It's not normal, you know, and it's evil. And when God says, because evil exists, God who is good is greater than evil, then we need to pray for Israel, pray for the protection of Israel. We need to do what God says about Israel, because we're not going to defeat evil by us logically working things out.
Right.
We're going to defeat evil by turning to God and standing up for righteousness and what's right. Mm-hmm. When, you know, America had a strong presence in the world, these things were at bay. But now that we're seen as weak, following whatever, you're seeing all these different areas that were safe now become vulnerable. And one of those is Israel. And that's why you hear us talk about, you know, how tragic it was when our president went to Israel and gave the speech, and you could hear it and see it on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Go to the VFN Torch or on your app, and you'll hear us listen to a speech, and we'll listen to it live, so we're excited the first part of the speech, but at the end of it, we're like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
exactly.
He sold out Israel and told them to go to the United Nations, which has a voting block of the Middle East mindset to be able to destroy Israel. Mm. And it's like, oh my goodness. And it's like, just stop thinking about it logically and say, God, deal with the enemies of Israel.
Yeah.
Deal with the enemies of Israel. Take them out. If they're going to try to take out Israel, Lord God, we just pray that you would devour the enemies of Israel. Protect them, that you would put your angels around Israel and rise up your mountains around them, oh God, and save Israel. Protect them from the plans of the evil one. Mm. Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name. It'll help you when you quit thinking about it logically. Before we go in the first hour, I want to be able to share the wisdom moment. The wisdom moment today is from Proverbs 22, verse 22 through 23. It reads, "Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them." You think about it. A generation that forgets the poor has forgotten God. When we lose God's perspective on those who lack or are in need, we lose our perspective of Him, His heart, His defense of the poor. I mean, you think about this in manufacturing. I used to think years ago that those who sought out how our clothes and our products were made are just trying to stir up trouble. But once I saw how some of the products and the clothing was made so we can get good pricing, and how the business owners and corporations exploited the poor in their company's name to get this profit, I realized that they're doing God's work. They're doing God's work, no matter their motives. Mm-hmm. If they reveal that we are a nation, as a nation, are exploiting the poor, it helps us as believers to respond accordingly. I mean, you think about it. Yeah, I mean, we don't have a lot of time to kind of stay, but understand that God takes the case of the poor. I mean, you think about the poor and going to court. In America, one of these evidence that we are a Judeo-Christian nation is that we tell everybody in America, you have a right to a lawyer, and if you can't afford one, we will appoint one to represent you. Think about it.
We read everyone there that's arrested what we call the Miranda warnings. This is what we tell them. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, one will be appointed to represent you before questioning if you wish. Do you understand these rights that I've read to you? I mean, you think, as a law enforcement officer, you think, this is really getting in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Then as I became a believer and I got saved when I was in law enforcement, I realized, hey, this is God's work.
That's right.
Just because they don't have money doesn't mean they don't have rights. And more so, since it's a Judeo-Christian nation, that we should be able to stand up and say, listen, hold on a minute. We'll give you an attorney. We want an attorney to represent you in the courts. That's a God. That's God's business. It's so important that God, to God, it's so important to God how we treat the poor and the needy, that if we don't treat them well and lend to them and help empower them and ensure that they get justice and refuse to exploit them, that God himself will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Justice.
That's why we as Christians should be very careful what's happening with the medical insurance stuff that's going on in America, because if there's somebody not being cared for, we need to think about that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So when we see a corporation or a business, for example, get sued in courts for making their money off harming someone or someone who's become a victim of their exploitative practices, and a major judgment is placed against them for millions of dollars, which will be distributed to that particular victim, you define that as them being plundered.
Mm.
You're plundering that corporation. If they have exploited the poor, making their money off plundering those who are in need, it can very well be the Lord himself that is behind their corporations being plundered as he takes up their case. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 22:22-23. Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.
John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I have.
Oh, man. Such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFNTV.